good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winroad II with the Ralph Winroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And I got my stimulus check, so wow, I went to the bar last night and went out and rested at 8 today. Do you know what? Both of them, there's nobody there with any mask, and everything's back to normal. Of course, I went to Kalani's to see if they had any Kona coffee, and they're still doing their little nonsense, going one place and not the other, and all. I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable. This is a big con, and they're talking about, oh my God, we got more infections. It's not about the number of infections, you idiots. It's about the number of people that die. That's the problem. And we got people like, let's see, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan are putting infected people into the most vulnerable, and they don't get it? You got to be kidding me. And then they're, oh, damn, that governor of New York, Cuomo, blaming Trump. Oh, he told me to put them old sick people back in there. Yeah, and he brought the comfort ship up that they didn't hardly use. He built the hospitals they didn't hardly use. All these empty beds. Oh, we got to put them back in there. But, of course, we get about three times more money if we get one of these older folks to croak. Wow. And we're not supposed to catch on. I'm telling you, I don't have any sympathy for I just can't. These people keep electing these Democrats. They're the minions of Satan. They're evil. The mayor of Minneapolis, Dumber Rock. Lightfoot, or whatever her name is, in Chicago. Totally a gay, but she's Dumber Rock. Prejudiced. We got to get rid of them. We're going to turn these ICE. We're not going to keep these criminals because they're illegals. We're just going to turn them loose. Oh, that makes a lot of damn sense. What is just, it's like this. It's insanity. It's just, you just can't make this stuff up. But I saw where Trump and Barr are going after Antifa to declare them a terrorist organization. I can't think of this other name. I'll look her name up in a minute. But she is really a good, she was on Laura Ingraham. Her first name is Laura also. And she's a real journalist. And she said you can pick them out. So just got to watch. Laura Logan. She's on point. She is a real journalist. Why wouldn't you go after the instigators of this stuff? Do we think all these people are out there that are going to do it? They don't have enough smarts to do it. What is crazy is they go and burn down their own neighborhoods, their own businesses, where there are people. There's got to be some black people owning some of them businesses, I would think. I don't know. Then you don't have any jobs, and then you can't sell your property. Ooh, that is really a smart move. But we showed them over one guy, and I don't give a rat's rump whether he's black, white, purple, or green. Who cares? The cop was out of control. He's a bad cop. Big deal. There's a lot of bad cops. Not a lot, but there's quite a few. Hell, there's more bad people in Congress than there is bad cops, percentage-wise. The Democrats. Democratic Party is a part in the Satan. I'm telling you, they'll lockstep. We're going to kill them young children right up to the time they're born, and even after they're born, we're still going to do them in. I'm sorry. That's way beyond any line of civility, morals, anything. You're from the devil. Nobody does that kind of stuff. They just don't do it. They just don't. But they're doing it. And these people are buying into this stuff. I just don't know. It makes you wonder sometimes, but that's all right. Like I say, it ain't over, so the fat lady sings. I just keep finding out more amazing stuff, and we're getting down to the... we're going to start suing. I know how to sue a judge in Alaska. And if you get the information, you can sue any judge. But you got to know how, you got to get the information, because they, without they, well, they operate with no jurisdiction at all. And none of them got it. But you have to be able to prove these things. You can't just allege it. You got to prove it. And we went after through Gladden. Of course, he went off the rails, but people do. A judge in Dillingham has zero authority. She's operating in an administrative district created by the Alaska Bar Association. I didn't know that the Alaska Bar was supposed to be legislating for the legislature in Juneau. They print it. Third Judicial District, in their first article. You can look it up on the internet. Or you can get on my list. I got an IRS list. I highly recommend, whether you get on it or not, it's $250 postal money order or Walmart preferred, or for free if you can't afford it, just email me at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. Wake up! Because we're in the matrix, folks. We are. There is no getting around it. We are in the matrix. Just unbelievable. You just can't make this stuff up. So, I don't know what to say. It's just this latest brief that went in. This is the third time we got dinged on it twice. This is the third attempt. First time I didn't know what Bates numbering was. I really actually like it now that I got familiar with it. And by the way that they look at stuff, this is the only court that does this particular type of briefing, because I've been in every court from the Supreme Court down to all the appellate courts and United States District Courts and some state courts, and you read the rules and they're basically pretty much all the same. Supreme Court's different, but it makes sense. But this one, the United States Federal Circuit Court of Appeals uses what's called a Bates numbering system, and what that means is you have to have an appendix and you put them all into one big folder, and then it numerically numbers them all from how many ever digits there are. The one for the Moonies had three digits, had 998 attachments. 998 attachments. And it came out just a little shy of 14,000 words. And it's an amazing read. And you can see the real stuff, because when you get it emailed from, get on the email list, you get the highlighted stuff. Or you can go, if you don't want to, join the IRS. I don't know why you wouldn't if you don't want to know the truth, but whatever, you can't say it's a lack of money. You can go on to the home page, and once somebody downloads it, if you got Firefox, it's free then. But if you're listening to the program today, you don't even have to be a member. And I'll email it to you, but you have to send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com. And it takes several emails, because some of the attachments are pushing 5-6 megabytes, and a lot of these emails won't handle much more than that. So, just can't make this stuff up. I'm telling you, the stuff that I have discovered, if somebody would have told me this 10 years ago, I just said, it can't be. We have no republic. It's all been overthrown. It has. And if you want to know who did it, look in the mirror. Just like in V for Vendetta, look in the mirror. It's you and me. And how did we do it? Because we've been outsmarted, and these are liars of the highest degree, and they are really good at it. Very good. It started actually before the Civil War. But it's been cranked up, and it really got going March 4th, 1933. That was the beginning of the New Deal. That was the beginning of the can't think of the word of it right now. I guess it's the Recovery Act, Industrial Recovery Act, that FDR put in. He started declaring law by making executive orders and by agencies. promulgating regulation. Now, this act that he put in called the New Deal was actually overturned by the Supreme Court in 1935. But a lot of it is stuck. It was there, but they were making, I'm going to try to pull up the thing here in a minute, get the number, I think it was 696 executive orders from 1933 to 1935. You believe that? I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, they went off the deep end. I am telling you, there is just no getting around it. They just unbelievably went off the deep end. And let me see here. Let me get the exact thing here. It was National Recovery Administrative, National Recovery Administration Act. 674 executive orders. It says in the first 15 months after 1933, 2,998 administrative orders, and they're saying that this there was over 10,000 pages, and they called it law. They called it law. The New Deal. What happened March 3rd, 1933? President Hoover, on his last day in office, signed a bill, repealed 1,006 statutes. 1,006 statutes on his last day. Well, why would he do it on the last day? They normally do repealers after they do codes, when they do a code. When they do a new code every year, then they do the repealers of stuff that supposedly is out of date or whatever. They did this on his very last day. And next thing you know, we have this National Industrial Recovery Act, and we have executive orders, and we have regulations. And they're out of control. They're calling them law. So they ran into a big problem because this thing is unleashed and there's no standard of review. That's an issue that I picked up that they used. It's mandatory in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And it's an excellent way to look at that stuff. They require it in their appellate briefs. What is the standard of review? It is an excellent way to understand what's going on in our country. If we are to have laws of the United States, what is the standard of review? What do we look at to make a law of the United States? They're not making them anyway. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But they're not doing them anymore. That's long gone. But what is it? There has to be a bill. It has to be passed by the House. It has to be passed by the Senate. It has to be signed by the President, or it's vetoed, and then it has to be overridden by both the House and the Senate by a two-thirds vote. That's the standard of review of the laws of the United States. So I can go look, because it has to be public. I got to have notice. I got to know what they're doing before they can put me in jail. I got to know what the law is. That's the standard of review. It's like the Ten Commandments. If I don't know the Ten Commandments, how can you prosecute me for violating one of the Ten Commandments if I don't even know what the heck they are? That's so important. It's the biggest con in the dang United States. So what is the standard of review for agencies? Therein lies the jugular to every federal and or state agencies, because all the states are tied into the feds some way or another. What is the standard of review for an agency? Now, my first brief, I didn't do a blue standard of review the way they wanted it. And then it finally dawned on me what it was. Wake up, Ralph. It's an excellent way. How do I know if I see an agency? Because, you see, they are these regulations. They're tens of hundreds of thousands of them, maybe millions. I don't know. They're all over the place. How do I know? A Chrysler V. Brown brought it out. They're not laws of the United States. They're not laws of one of the several states, but they have the force and effect of law. Who do they have the force and effect of law? Why don't they just say it's a law? Because they can't. That's the other part. So if it has the force and effect of law, of over who? That's a good question. Only over citizens of the United States. That's the only thing that regulations have, is of force and effect of law over citizens of the United States. They're not laws of the United States. They're not laws of the several states. Because they're done by an agency. And all agencies must require, promulgate by regulation. So we get back to, okay, what is their standard of review? I have a right to, number one, have notice. Number two, how do I know that regulation is a smoke? Because you see, they have interpretive regulations, which agencies can't interpret the law, but they do it. They interpret statutes. They're smoke. Supreme Court said so. They have administrative. Back in a minute.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Okay. We're back here. How do I recognize one of these regulations? You know, there's a lot of lawyers know this. I've tangled with a few of them. They don't know. They're not taught. Franklin Delano Roosevelt did a 400-page research document, and they came up, they called it the Headless Fourth Branch of Government. Headless Fourth Branch of Government. They said, our forefathers wouldn't recognize what's going on today. These things are external establishments. They sit outside the government, and somebody come up with a great idea. We'll take politics out of agencies, and they're going to operate like little angels. Oh, that's going to really work well. Well, the president and the Senate will put the people in there, and then we'll just turn them loose with no oversight. Really? You got to be dumber than a rock. No, corrupt. You turn, everything needs accountability. That's the reason why, like in Alaska, there's supposed to be a bond on all the people that hand money, and if we had sheriffs and all those others, where you had to put up 2 of your own pieces of property to keep you honest. That's what makes you honest, is when you're accountable. If you're not accountable, what's the deal? That's the problem with all these rioters. They're not accountable. Let's go burn a building or 2. So they have run into this problem of accountability. FDR was greatly concerned because he wanted his New Deal. He loved Mussolini and his nationalist stuff. He really liked him. But the problem is, they were out of control over here. They were taking over the executive. So what'd they do? They came up with presidential committee, where they come up with a headless fourth branch of government, and they talk about all these different things. They said, well, let's try the Walter Logan Act. We'll put an act in so that we will know when an agency is making what we call substantive law, substantive regulations, or substantive regulations, whichever way you want to pronounce it. Chrysler called them legislative rules. Chrysler v. Brown, 1979. We need to know, they're just putting them in, and they're just out of control. We don't know what kind of regulation they are. So they tried the Walter Logan Act in 1939, and FDR vetoed it. So then, 1941, they had the Attorney General do a great research document. I need to read the whole thing. I haven't read it all yet. It goes into great detail of the total history of all of the regulations and these agencies and all this stuff. I just took out the parts that were required for the Moonies. And what did I find in there? It talks about interpretive regulations. They're not binding on anybody. We got to have substantive regulations. And the most astounding thing that he came up with, I'm going to find the attachment here. He said, guess what? Article 3 courts cannot deal with regulations. Whoa! Is that going to be a problem? Think about that for a minute. Because Article 3 is only one of 2 places in the Constitution it was established and ordained. So they can't change it. And it said law and equity. They cannot change Article 3, Sections 1 and 2. There has to be a common law court or has to be equity. We don't have none of that today. It's required to be there, but nobody seems to want to talk about it. Supreme Court's ruled on it. Oh, yeah, it's got to be there. Where is it? There are none. They don't exist. I can prove that in this brief. I proved that. Like I say, you just can't make this stuff up. It shocks the conscience. But this Attorney General brief, it was called the Final Report of the Attorney General's Committee of Administrative Procedure of 1931. And it is it's an amazing read. Great research. But what does he talk about with the Article 3 courts? This is on page 12 of his report. Many of the functions just discussed might, as far as the Constitution is concerned, have been assigned directly to the courts. He's talking about the subsidy regulations and all that type of stuff. Congress, for example, might conceivably have empowered the federal district courts. You ever see federal district courts run? Because this is the generic. It's like calling birds. Are all the birds the same? No, I don't think an eagle and a dove are the same thing. There are different types of birds, and in the several states, there is a unique called the District Court of the United States. It has a very limited jurisdiction, and it is bound to operate by the common law and equity.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. you should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay. We're back here. Two amazing things. How many? That's discussed in this Attorney General's thing. First of all, we have to understand, what is the common law? A common law is statutory. It means there's a statute. There's something that exists that you can point to when you sue somebody or if there's a crime. Equity is when there's no statute. So it's to do justice where common law has not addressed it, or it's outside of the scope of common law. It's where things makes, there's right and the wrong, and it's not fair or something along those lines, equity. So that common law requires a statute. It's got to be concise. And England worked on it for hundreds of years to get it down, and we started off with it in our republic. But if you want to overthrow a republic, you can't have common law. Because these are laws of the United States or laws of the several states. So what does he say about this? He says if administrative agencies did not exist in the federal government, Congress would be limited to the technique of legislation primarily designed to correct evils after they have arisen rather than prevent them from arising. That's an important concept. We want to get around and prevent them. Sounds good. The criminal law, of course, operates in this after-the-event fashion. Congress declares an act to be a crime. Well, that's obviously, that's the only way a crime can be declared. You got to have a, they got to do an act, an affirmative act. The mere declarations act as a deterrent. But if it fails to do so, the courts can only punish the wrongdoer. They cannot wipe out or make good the wrong. Well, if somebody murders somebody, obviously you can't bring them back to life. Traditional non-criminal private law operates for the most part in the same after-the-event fashion. Now, here's where we get into their logic to make them think why this is a good thing. A statute or the common law gives one an individual right to go to court and sue another. This procedure is likely to be expensive. It is uncertain. Oh, my God, well, it's uncertain. Yeah, right, if you don't have the facts, you don't win. At best, in the ordinary action for money damages, it leads only to compensation for the injury, which is seldom and satisfactory as not having been injured at all. To be sure, courts of equity administered a substantial measure of preventative justice by giving injunctions against the threatened injuries. So we can't have this common law because it's uncertain and we may not feel like we've really been getting justice. Continuing, but it is necessary to prove the threat. Well, that's an odd kind of way I thought things were supposed to be. And other limitation. That's a limitation. You got to prove the threat. Oh, my God. Can't do that. Other limitations confine the scope of this mode of relief. You got to prove the facts that you were injured. What a novel idea. Continuing, the desire to work out a more effective and more flexible method of preventing unwanted things from happening accounts for the formation of many, although by no means at all, federal administrative agencies. You're starting to get the gist of what they're doing here? They go on. They're talking about the Security and Exchange Commission. Within the rather severe limits, the common law recognized the right of a purchaser of securities to recover damages from the seller resulting from false statements made in effecting the sale. The importance of truth in securities led to a demand that honest statements as well as fuller and more informative statements must be assured as far as possible in advance. If this end were to be accomplished, it could only be done by creating an administrative agency. A similar purpose affected in a great variety of ways underlies the formation of many agencies. And here we come from the killer. Thus, licensing is one of the most significant of all preventive devices. Now, I don't disagree with maybe a license. Maybe it should be just a permit. But what they've done is put it that they control who can do this and who can't do that by people that don't have any authority under the law. But they continue. It would be possible to permit anyone to act as a pilot of a ship or a plane, then to punish those whose incompetence led to accidents or to prohibit them from acting as pilots again. People have preferred, however, to attempt by a licensing method to assure competency in advance. The administrative agencies have had to be created to carry out this licensing system. Okay? Now, there's some logic to some of this. But obviously, if you want to have pilots, there should be some standard to get into an airplane and fly it or pilot a ship. But they license everything. And then when they do, they put it under their thumb. It's not just about that the person is competent. You get into business. You can't get into this business unless you purchase a license. And then we set down a lot of whole rules that ain't got one damn thing to do about whether you provide good service or not. It's like everything. It gets out of control. Should be standards, maybe permits. But this is their logic here. And the other important one is we can't have the common law because you have to prove it. And it costs, it's expensive. And you might not win. So we got to create an agency to deal with this stuff. That's their logic. That's what this, in his research, and all of his research, this attorney general came up with as of 1941. Those are important concepts. We can't have that damn common law. You actually have to have a fact to go in and sue somebody to win. What a novel idea. Maybe the guy's innocent. Well, we can do it through agencies. Right. Where we don't have a real rule of law. They don't operate off of facts. Nothing. But it's only for citizens of the United States. That's the only way they can pull this off. We have to take on the persona, the character of a citizen of the United States. Just like you've got in rentals, you have a tenant, you have a landlord. You take on the character. That isn't who you are, but you've entered into one or the other, the character, as a landlord or a tenant, to be covered under the, quote, laws. That's a character. And I found that in Slaughterhouse and a lot of other places. That's the con. And this is where people run into the definition of person that's not very well understood. Took me a while to grasp it too, finally. Like in the IRS, they define a person as an individual. And it's in the same place as a corporation or limited liability partnership or whatever. You say, what do they all have in common? Well, you go have to look at the definition of an individual. Because definitions, when they say means, that's an exclusive definition. It has nothing to do with the English language as far as a dictionary. An individual that's in 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. It's a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted. Okay, so how could a citizen of the United States be the same in the same definition of person as a corporation? Oh, I get it now. They all have civil rights. They got the right to go to court and sue each other. And none of them have political rights. An individual has no, a citizen of the United States has no political rights. No, they have no natural rights because it's taking on a character. It's like if you were a landlord or a tenant. You don't have political rights for that character. But you have civil rights, and that's all they want to talk about today, is civil rights. The civil rights of 1866, 14 Stat 27. We have the right to hold property. We have the same rights as white citizens, really. That's still in the code, folks. 42 U.S.C. 1981 and 1982. Look it up. 42 U.S.C. 1981, 1980. Same rights as white citizens. Really? That sounds a little racist to me, but I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a damn dumb. I'm just a farm boy. That's the con. Because they don't teach us this. It's in the legal world of legalese, and it's not that it's bad, but we're not taught any of it. So then they go on to, in this attorney general, let me find it here, because they run into another problem. Let me find it here. Just a minute. Oops, I didn't type in the right thing. That's what happens if you don't type in the right things when you're researching something in a document. These darn computers, they're always right on. They don't allow you to make any mistakes. Article 3. Okay, if we establish agencies that are not in the Constitution of the United States, that's its proper name. It only has one name, by the way. A U.S. Constitution, United States Constitution, are called a compounding of nouns that describing a Constitution. In reality, they're describing what happens from the 13th Amendment up. Because that's where citizens of the United States are. At the end, you see Congress can do legislation. Doesn't sound like an amendment if Congress can do legislation on it. And it says it can be, they call it articles. They're standalone, technically. They're not an amendment. Go read it. 13, 14, 15. These guys aren't lying. They just pulled the wool over our eyes. So the question is, if an Article 3 court can only do cases of controversy, what the hell do we do with regulations? We can't take them into an Article 3 court because somebody's going to wise up and say, y'all can't do this, folks. Because there's no case, there's no controversy, there's no law of the United States. It's not common law and it's not equity. I have a solution. Let's get around and do the illusion of combining law and equity with the Constitution and the law, and the Supreme Court says, y'all can't do it. But they can do it in one place. It's called a tribunal. Under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. They can create tribunals that are inferior to the Supreme Court. Under the Supreme Court of the United States. But you know what they also call those? What else do they call those? Legislative courts. It says to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. Article 1 is legislature. It's not Article 3. This is legislature. So let's create a legislative court. We'll call it the United States District Court. And they did that in 1948. Can it exercise the judicial power of the United States in Article 3, Sections 1 and 2? No. Can it do common law? No. Can it do equity? No. Not together. It has to have both. But we'll just say it does. Nobody will catch on. So what kind of power does that court have? They print it. It says 28 U.S.C. 132C. Judicial power of a district court. And my question was, what the heck does that mean? It can't mean judicial power of the United States, because the United States, judicial power of the United States, is because the government of the United States, which is in the Constitution of the United States, is the government's name, United States. So this judicial power of a district court, what the heck does that mean? So I did a word search in Westlaw. I sat back in my seat. I said, I don't believe this. That judge, a judicial power of a district court, article, that's 28 U.S.C. 132C. That judge is representing the court. And this, on the other case, is the court is under the control of Congress because it's a legislative court. So that judge is operating for Congress. They print it. Does that sound like an independent judge? There were several justices that said that if we ever lose the independences of our judges, we're done. Where's our remedy? Where do I go? Because the judge is under the control of Congress, and he's doing regulations, and he's even doing regulations that don't have the forced effect of law. Boy, that sounds like where I want to run off to. And that's all we got in the several states. United States District Courts. They didn't do away with the District Court of the United States because they can't. They can't repeal it. We'll just put it in their closet, and we go, shh, don't anybody talk about it. That's 1948. So that's how they got around the fact that we can't do regulations, is we create a new court system. And we make it a congressional legislative court. And all that thing is, the judge is working, he's representing the court, and the court is under the control of Congress. They say so, not me. I wouldn't go to any court that I knew of that was under the control of this stupid, crook, corrupt Congress we got. We can't trust them. They're out of control. House of Representatives, the Democrats, are totally gone, and we got a whole bunch of rhinos. You can't trust them because there's no rule of law. That's the con. There's no rule of law. But they have to get our consent. So you can set, you have to actually go in with limited and special jurisdiction when you file into that court. How do they get criminal? How do they get us under the criminal? They got to have our consent. Everything to step into the matrix requires our consent. To be a citizen of the United States. And I sat in Alaska and I was fighting all these registration. I knew they didn't own a car, which is easily determined. Back in.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24-7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back here, and I'm going to get into the next hour about the regulations, but I'm working up to the foundation, and if you don't know this, you're screwed. I guarantee you. I've been screwed because I didn't know it. Been there, done that many times. I didn't even have any Vaseline, but I just kept learning. Just like the Anchorage. You go in the municipality of Anchorage, you can go to their home page, go to Article 9 under cops. The only people that can write citations, the cops can only write citations on government-owned and government-driven vehicles. I saw that, and I worked for years. I knew they didn't own it, but I didn't understand what it took. And it was so simple. I went over to Wasilla Chevrolet. There's a power of attorney given to the financial guy where you sign away all right, title, and interest before you ever drive out of the dang lot. And they take the MSO, which most people have never seen, that says you own the property. They carry it to DMV, and then DMV issues me a certificate of title that says there may be other security interests not shown. You got to be kidding me. Yipper. I'm driving the government's car. And I signed it over. Who reads all that junk? I do anymore, because I bought a lot of new cars for business, whatever. I never read all that junk. Sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, and drive out, and I got a smile on my face. I just been screwed. I gave away the property because I don't even understand its possession, right of possession, or legal owner, and right of property, which is equitable owner. They don't tell me this in school. The three-part stone in property. All I am, I got right of possession. I'm driving their stuff. They got the equitable part, the right of property. They got the thing that I think is mine. But I can control it. I can wreck it. I can drive it with their supervision. I can only drive so fast, so far, because it's under safety. And there's always some good reason for some of this stuff. I got to have insurance. Well, hell, if I owned it. If it was my stuff, I wouldn't trust anybody else to be driving my property without insurance. Because they're collateralizing it. That I can't prove yet. I'm going to get to that one of these days. But I'm working on, which are going to go to regulations next hour. We're going to start suing IRS agents. I've sued a judge in Alaska. It can be done. Didn't win. Batten gave up on me, but that's fine. I got all the stuff there. I know how they did it. clear absence of all jurisdiction. You have to go look and see when your judiciary was overthrown. Typically, it's somewhere in the 1960s, 1970s. But every state's going to be different. You got to get all the facts. And I got them. On Alaska's judges, on courts. We don't have a court system up here. We even got a judge to say, I don't have an oath. I don't have a civil commission. I've never been appointed by anybody and go to HELL. She signed an order to that. Vanessa White out of Palmer, supposedly a superior court judge. She admitted it. I'm going to go after the legislature and up here and say, y'all better help me because if I put a habeas corpus and this into the Goose Creek Correctional Facility that's got 1,400 people down the road from me, about 15 miles, all wanting out, all hell's going to break loose. And I don't want to do that. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Because there is a war on for our republic. And I'm telling you, if Trump doesn't get elected and we don't get the two Republicans, the House and the Senate, Trump has got to be elected. I think he got...
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.